as we've been exalting you and glorifying you, that you would continue to manifest your presence in this place. Father, overwhelm us tonight, Lord, with your plan and your purpose, Lord, the call that you have upon our lives. Holy Spirit, take control. We give you liberty from the left to the right, from the front to the back. Lord, I pray that you would anoint your message and your messenger, that your word would come forth with power and clarity, and that you would do the work that only you can do within every single heart here tonight. Lord, we thank you and we love you. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. You can go ahead and take your seats. Tell somebody next to you, I'm glad you're here tonight. Okay, come on, now tell them with a smile now. Some of you are mean mugging while you're telling them. I know, I'm glad to be here. Again, it's a big privilege for me to be able to speak at any time I get to, even in our home church. And what a privilege it is to be here the whole weekend. And I'm excited for what God wants to do. And I know tonight we got the Rio Grande region and God's Anointed Now Generation, and as well as, you know, other church members and all the pastors here. And I'm extremely privileged and humbled to be able to share. And this evening, you know, I want to try and keep it simple. I believe in our generation today, there's so many options. There's so many things. You know, everything's just a touch away on the phone, on a device. You know, just you can look up something and get anything that you think of or find something. And really, it just depends on how good your Wi-Fi connection is. It depends on how good the internet speed is. And there's so many things that can distract and can really lead us in so many different directions. And even subconsciously, whether you're a young person here tonight or whether you're an adult, whether it's your first time in something like this or you've been in church as long as you can remember, none of us are exempt from being distracted and starting to look into other things or even starting to build up a desire in our lives for some type of purpose that doesn't align with God's for our life. And I think it's of the utmost importance in our day and age today that every person, no matter the age, no matter what city you're from, no matter how long we've been around, no matter what we know or what we think we don't know, it's so important that we stay focused on the purpose that God's given us. Without that, we'll find purpose, but it won't be God's. And I believe that especially the gang, God's Anointed Now Generation, we're in an extremely critical moment and critical time in our day today of where young people are struggling more than ever before. Like Pastor Pat was saying, there's so much distraction, so much challenges for young people in school, just in general, with what they're bombarded with the music, with television, with movies. There's so much subliminal messaging. There's so many things. And really what it comes down to is the devil trying to distract them from their God-given purpose. We as the church, we as those that know Christ or those that are going to know him tonight are going to find out tonight, if we don't already, that God's given us a purpose. Tell the person next to you, I'm asking you to help me preach a little bit tonight. Tell the person next to you, God has a purpose for your life. Come on, tell the person on the other side, God has a purpose for your life. If you have your Bibles with me or with you, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 16. We're going to read one verse there. And I want to talk a little bit about purpose tonight and then give three practical ways of how we continue and fulfill our purpose. It's one thing to know it, and I believe some of us maybe that have been around for a little bit, or maybe we've been coming, or maybe even in the gang. This isn't your first regional. This isn't your first gang service. Some of us that already go to church, we're already faithful, we're committed. We can never lose the power of our purpose. It can never lessen. It's meant to only increase. It's meant to expand. It's in our promised scriptures to enlarge to the left and to the right. It shouldn't become just a part of our life. It should consume our life. We have to be people of purpose. Can somebody say amen? Mark chapter 16, and we're going to read verse 15. And at the end, I'm just going to give, like I said, three things that will help us fulfill that purpose that I believe are practical ways that if we just daily practice them and continually have it in our mind and in our heart, then we won't be distracted by the things of this world. We won't be detoured, if I could say, and then find out that, okay, this isn't my purpose, like some of us already have. Let's be real tonight. Okay, I'm going to need your help, though. Talk to the person next to you. Just be real tonight. Because sometimes in life, like I said, especially today, you could just look at the feed on your phone on Facebook. You could check some stories on Instagram. You could look at a few snaps. And all of a sudden, you start thinking about a different purpose in life. All of a sudden, somebody who is living a fake purpose on social media, all of a sudden, it starts influencing what we think is our purpose. And because it looks glamorous, yet you don't realize it took a lot of takes to get that shot. It took a lot of takes to get that right snap. So it's not even real. All of a sudden, we start thinking about our purpose in a different way. Like, man, what if I could do that? Man, I could be that. Man, how come I don't have... Oh, is that maybe just in San Jose? Maybe nobody here. Maybe everybody's just locked in, focused on God. Maybe this is just my struggles. You pray for me tonight. Let's call it home. Let's call it a night. It's very easy to be distracted when it comes to purpose. And it's not even intentional. It's not even something that maybe we desire. Maybe some of us don't feel like, well, no, I know God's given me a purpose. But is it something that's really driving us every day? And as young people today, if I could speak to the gang right now, if we don't find our purpose now, whether you're in junior high, whether you're in high school, whether you're a young adult, then my friend, this world will take us for all kinds of turns and twists and the crooked path, like the Bible mentions, of finding and wondering what is our purpose. You see it all over the world today. You see young people that will be motivated to march and to rally. Why? Because there's a purpose behind something. Anything that sparks interest or anything that sparks some type of debate or some type of controversy, all of a sudden people will join. Why? Because they're looking for purpose. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Very simple, but yet it's part of the Great Commission. And really what it is it gives us our purpose. And this goes beyond age, this goes beyond background, this goes beyond any ethnicity, this goes beyond any record, this goes beyond any education, this goes beyond anything that the world may try and limit us to in certain areas and certain things that we find ourselves involved in. But God's word cannot come back void. God's word you can always stand on, and it holds its truth in and out of season no matter what comes our way. So when I read something like this that says that we're commissioned, basically it's a command from God to me and you, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I can't help but think of how successful our ministry has been all over the world. If there is ever a ministry in this world today that has taken the scripture literally and seen it be successful throughout the lives of so many people, it's Victory Outreach. Somebody say amen. There is no other ministry like us in all the world. And no disrespect to any other. I'm not trying to say they're any less. Everybody plays their part in the overall body of Christ. But I thank God that he chose us to fulfill this scripture just a little bit more than some others. That he chose us to actually go into all the world. You're looking at a young man who thought he was just going to live and die in San Jose. I never thought outside of my city. I used to feel weird going 30 minutes up to Oakland, up to the Bay Area. I used to feel weird, and it would be like, man, why am I outside of, you know, what are we doing here? Why do we need to be here? Let's just go back. And yet now you're looking at somebody who's traveled 30 hours on a plane to the farthest point on the other side of the world. Why? Because of this scripture right here. I've seen it proven in my own life, and I saw it in our leaders' lives. You can see it in your pastors' lives. You see it throughout our entire ministry, that standing on God's word, using scripture as a foundation for your purpose, will allow you to do things that you never thought you could do. Look at the person next to you and tell him he's talking about you. See, God's word, why I love it so much and why I want to keep it simple just on that scripture for right now is because it doesn't allow excuses to come in. Anybody can go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because then maybe some of us might not get to go and travel so much and do all these things, but all the world includes your city. All the world includes your neighborhood. All the world includes your church, your surrounding, wherever you go, your workplace, your school, wherever it might be, your family. That is included in all the world. So all of us can fulfill this purpose. Every single one of us can stand on God's word from this moment on in the rest of our lives and will never lack purpose in our life. Why is suicide rising like never before in young people? Because they lack purpose. I don't even think so much it's that they lack purpose. They lack the right purpose. In our generation today, you know, we're the most educated. Millennials, all that. It just in our day and age today, we're the most educated we've ever been because of the internet, resources, just technology itself. But did you know that even though we're the most educated, we're also the most depressed? that depression is at an all-time high? Why? Because people aren't finding their God-given purpose. Instead of taking a command from God's word that says, okay, I've commanded you to do something more with your life than just think about yourself. I've commanded you to do something greater than just to worry about your own life. People who lack purpose are usually people who get consumed with their own life. People who lack purpose are ones that don't take God's word literally and don't think about the world and just think about their own little world. We need God's given purpose, or else we're going to find ourselves feeling like we don't have a purpose. Or maybe for some, we'll find ourselves looking for a new purpose. Maybe some of us here tonight, we knew that purpose and we were trying to go into all the world. Maybe we were out there and we were doing it, but are we still fulfilling that purpose? Are we still standing on God's word? Or now we, okay, but I like this purpose for my life now. Okay, God's purpose is great, it's good, but I kind of like the way this looks too. Let me make this a purpose in my life. We can never lose our God-given purpose. And why would we stand on God's word? Because, like I mentioned, it can't come back void. That if we would practice the principle of standing on God's word, then basically we're guaranteed success in everything that we do. If we make this purpose our first and foremost in our life, the driving force behind what we do, even at school, at work, with our family, wherever we go, if we make this our purpose, then we're going to be successful everywhere we go. I love how it says in all the world, because again, it covers everywhere. It doesn't matter where we go, that you could be successful. It doesn't matter what we do, we could be successful. I don't know about you, but I don't like failing. I don't know about you, but I don't like taking losses. I don't like taking L's. I like to win. I like to be successful. I'm a sports guy. I love winning. I'm competitive. And how do we win no matter where we go? Is by giving God our first and foremost and then fulfilling His purpose for our life. Once we've given our life to God, once we've done more for God by saying, okay, here, I lay down my life to you. I'm giving up my will. I'm giving up my plans. I'm giving up my purpose. It's not just for the sake of not having that anymore. It's for the sake of gaining something better, gaining something that's successful, gaining something that works. Look, what I'm sharing tonight, and as simple as it might sound of just reaching the world, it's more than just what we say at conferences. It's more than just what I could preach right now. It's something that's literally been working for over 50 years in our ministry. I don't know about you, but I'd rather follow something and follow somebody with purpose that's guaranteed to work. How many times have we followed another purpose in life and it failed us? How many times have we followed another person who gave us purpose on the streets, who gave us purpose wherever we were at, and all of a sudden they're not around no more? We found our purpose with that guy, found our purpose with that girl, and then all of a sudden they don't love you no more. They don't want you no more. Why? Because that purpose wasn't from God. But anytime somebody stands on the word of God and gives all they have to fulfilling the purpose that He's given us, my friend, it never fails. It always works. We can be successful no matter what comes our way. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter what you've done. Some of us need to forget about the past and look towards the future, because God has the world in your future. Some of us right here, right now, don't even know the cities we're going to end up in yet. I'm talking to future pastors. I'm talking to future leaders, some pastors' wives, some evangelists that are going to go into all the world. There's a city with your name on it. Some of you are going to reach people in other countries that you don't even know the name of yet. Somebody give God some praise. Somebody clap their hands. Thank God that we have a purpose where we can be successful in life. Sometimes we just have to remember how unsuccessful we were. You don't got to take my word for it. Take your own word for it. Just be real with yourself. Help me out again. Tell your neighbor, be real. Don't look at me like, well, you don't know my life. No, you know your life. I'm trying to help somebody be successful in life. All you got to do is just do your God-given purpose. Stand on the living word. Stand on the word that's active, not somebody else's word that ended up helping destroy your life. And if we could be real, not even our own word that helps destroy our life sometimes. Hello. We have a God-given purpose. And like I said, what I love so much is that you could just see how successful it is. We're only here tonight because it works. It hasn't failed. If anything, it's only getting better. If anything, we're only growing. we're only becoming more successful. I mean, you see videos of the training center. You see videos of Panama. You hear from your pastors, the pastors here are in Denver right now. Why are we able to do all these things and successful everywhere we go? Because of the purpose that God gave us. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand. Now, it's one thing to know our purpose, but now the challenge to live it out. The challenge to actually begin to practice it and put it into action. So we can't just get used to coming to services and feeling good that we have a purpose. We can't get used to just coming to retreats or events. I know all the men are going to be looking forward to Mighty Men of Valor, but we can't just depend on that alone and hear all about our purpose and get filled with all this purpose, but then not live out that purpose. And sometimes this is the hardest part because the Bible doesn't just say go into all the world. Sometimes some of us, we're like, yeah, I want to go. I want to travel. I want to go see this. I want to go see that. Nothing wrong with that. But don't forget the other part. It says to preach the gospel. What is that saying? That gospel, that's the truth that sets people free. That there's people wherever we go that need it. That there's still more gang members out. There's still more drug addicts. There's still more that were like me, that were like you. There's so many more that are out there, and they need somebody that doesn't want to just go out into all the world and just experience it for themselves and enjoy the benefits of a God-given purpose. No. We need people to reach those ones. And how do we do that? By preaching the gospel. And that doesn't mean behind the pulpit. This is the least of what we do. As far as time, the life that we live, anybody you see preaching up here, myself included, this is the least. This is the shortest amount of time. It's like an iceberg. This is like 20% that we only see at the top, but everything else is underneath. And that's where the ministering takes place. That's where the preaching takes place. The discipleship takes place. There's people that are in need of the gospel. And it's up to me and you to go out into all the world or even right here. Remember, I'm talking about our cities that are represented here. That's part of all the world. But we got to preach the gospel. We have to be ones that are able to minister to somebody and spread the gospel to their life. And sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes I could tend to think, okay, but what if they don't want to hear it? What if they don't like it? And we can limit ourselves. We can get afraid. We can be hesitant. Man, I know that person at work needs God. But I don't know. I don't want to offend them. Man, I know that young person at school, man, I can see the scars on their wrists. Man, I know that one's getting high. I know that's that God-given purpose wanting to come out. Anytime we get those moments, and let's just be real, that those moments of fear even at times. Because the devil's always trying to stop us from what? Fulfilling our purpose. So when that sets in, that's how you know the purpose is real. When you get that urge to preach the gospel to somebody just by telling somebody Jesus loves you. By telling your family, hey, you know what? God has a plan for your life. By telling somebody you're walking down the street and God just quickens you all of a sudden and you're like, man, why do I want to talk to them? Why do I want to tell them something? Why? Because that's the purpose of God trying to come out. But we have to be the ones that are willing to take action on it. Look, you can also stand on God's word in Luke chapter 6, verse 22. The Bible reads, blessed are you when men hate you. And when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil. This is sometimes what we fear when it comes to preaching the gospel. We're afraid that we're going to get hated on. Come on, anybody got any haters? Now everybody responds. But the Bible says, blessed are you in those moments. Blessed are you when they don't want to hear it. Blessed are you when they don't like it. Blessed are you when they start talking about you. Blessed. So isn't that a little bit, it sounds different than what we naturally think. That's why it's something spiritual. That's why when we're preaching the gospel, that's when God literally gives us what he wants them to hear. It's not about us. It's not about what we know. It's not about how we are. If there's any church kids here, it's not about whether you can relate as far as doing drugs and being in gangs. No. It's the Spirit of God that's transmitted through as a minister of the gospel. And when you tell somebody about the gospel, that's when you're blessed. Basically, what the scripture sums up in those few scriptures right there in Luke chapter 6 is that it's a win no matter what. Preaching the gospel, you can't lose. Preaching the gospel, even if they hate you, you're still blessed. Tell the person next to you, I want to be blessed. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, I want to be blessed. Even in verse 23, it says to rejoice in that day, to leap for joy. Can you imagine telling somebody, hey, Jesus loves you, and they hate you for it, and they start saying something, and you go away jumping and leaping and rejoicing? Well, that's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not saying you have to jump and leap and do all that, but we should rejoice knowing that, one, a seed was planted. And the Bible says that some will plant and some will water, but God brings the increase. So I want to let you know, and I want to encourage somebody here today, even right here tonight, you're already thinking of that person that God's been placing on your heart. You've been thinking about that young person in your school that you know needs Jesus, that person at work, that person in your family. Just tell them about the gospel. Be that preacher of the gospel. And not only will you be blessed, but I guarantee you there will be a rejoicing in your spirit because you know you're fulfilling your God-given purpose. And if you haven't tried it yet, my friend, you're missing out. There is no greater feeling than telling somebody else about the gospel. There's no greater feeling than leading somebody else to the Lord, than knowing that God could use somebody like us to change the path of somebody's life. There's no greater feeling. There's no greater satisfaction in life than being a preacher of the gospel. It just does something inside of you. It makes you feel whole. It makes you feel complete. Why? Because it's something greater than yourself. And that's usually our greatest struggle, is just ourselves. Where in those moments, we start thinking about how they're going to look towards us instead of looking at how God looks at them as a son, as a daughter, as somebody who he wants to restore, that he wants to save, that he wants to deliver. We can never get too caught up in thinking about who God can be for our life and forget about who he wants to be in somebody else's. That's why we need preachers. The Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher? Look at your neighbor and tell them, preach, preacher. It's a win every time. We can't lose when we're doing God's purpose. It doesn't matter what you're going through in life. It doesn't matter anything. Nothing else matters. When we're doing God's purpose for our life, it's a win every time. Tell the person next to you, all I do is win. There you go. Now, again, I want to make very clear that it's not enough just to know our purpose. I believe our ministry is one of the most powerful in relaying it through preachings, through our conferences, through our founders, through our elders. You see the anointing of God when they preach vision, faith, all of our values, loyalty, all these things that help complement and empower us to fulfill the purpose God's given us on another level. But there's always a way and there's always a need for us to do it in our everyday life. It can't be something that we rely on just on a Sunday morning. It can't be something that only if he preaches good today, then I'm going to do the will of God. No. It's our God-given purpose for our life. Every single day, every moment. And why should we make it that? Why should we have such a purpose? Now, is there something wrong with all these other things and good things and whatever else we could find? No, not necessarily, but there's nothing that will satisfy our soul because we didn't create ourselves. God created us. God gave us life today. Why? So we can do what we want to do? No, so we could do what he called us to do. And how great of an opportunity we have in our ministry today. That whether it be in your local church or whether it be on the other side of the world, there's a purpose for you to fulfill. Every single one of us is called by God. He knows us by name. Before we were even in our mother's womb, he knew the plans that he had for us. There is something greater for our life, but the only way to feel that sense of satisfaction, whether you're in school still, whether you're working, whether you're at home, whatever it might be, is to do the purpose of God, to fulfill his purpose in our life. We could search the entire earth and find that there is none like him, meaning that there is nothing else that can satisfy us the way he does. I want to encourage somebody here tonight. Maybe you've been battling depression. Maybe you've been thinking about suicide. Maybe you've just been struggling. Things just haven't been going your way. Hey, we all face life and it comes at us in different ways. But the way we truly overcome and find satisfaction deep within our soul in any given moment of life, in any situation, is when we're doing the will of God. Why would the Bible mention that it's perfect, that it's pleasing? Sometimes we try and please our own life by finding a different purpose. Like I said, we just look at our phone. Oh, man, that looks nice. Man, I want that life. Man, if I looked like them. Man, if I was there. Help me out tonight. Tell your neighbor, be real. So how do we do that? Before I close, just want to give three things on how we fulfill that purpose. It's the most satisfying thing we could do, but I'm human just like you. And my days sometimes are up, sometimes are down. We all face different things. So how do we do it on a daily basis? Well, there's three ways. Two that involve us no matter where we go. And the first one is that we fulfill our purpose in a personal way. I want to read a scripture in John chapter 1. Actually, I want to read a few. For the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and read it. And this is where we're fulfilling our purpose on a personal level. This is something all of us can do, no matter where we're at. And the Bible reads in verse 39, he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Now, just to sum that up real quick, what we're talking about here again is personally fulfilling our purpose. Everybody here, no matter how long we've been in church or not, now we've met or we come to know Jesus in a personal way. We hear about the purpose of God for our life. We hear a greater plan. We hear about his love. We hear about who he is. And this is what happened to Andrew. But what does he do? Instead of just taking it all in for himself and just enjoying it and knowing how good God is in his own life, he thinks of somebody else who also needs some purpose in their life. He automatically thinks of his own brother. And you see the personal fulfillment of a God-given purpose instantly just by him going to his brother and saying, hey, I found Jesus. No more than that. It doesn't say he graduated Bethy already, became a Bible scholar and a theologian and had years of ministry under his belt. He just met him. And what does he do? He goes and he tells somebody else, hey, I found Jesus. So what is he really doing? He's saying, look, I found somebody that has a greater purpose for our lives. He found somebody who was living a greater purpose. I'm sure he already heard. And then once he met the man, he could see that, man, Jesus, this man is somebody full of purpose. He could see the mission, the mission-mindedness, the ministry-mindedness of Christ and how he was living just in a short time. I could only imagine. And he goes and he finds somebody else and he brings them. And what is he doing? He's bringing somebody else so they could find purpose in their life. But I love how Jesus changes his name and then the translation means a stone. This is what Jesus does when we bring somebody else to him. Our life, even ours personally, was incomplete, fractured by the world, smashed apart by different things in life, maybe even bad choices, things that we did. But then when we came to Jesus and we found that he made us whole. And this is the process that Jesus does in the lives of others when we give them a chance to meet somebody that has a greater purpose for their life. Just by simply bringing somebody to Jesus, we're able to be used by God to help them become whole, to help them become complete, to help them become solid. How many of us know somebody right now who their life isn't so solid right now? We all know somebody. Some of us, that might even be you here tonight. Life feels incomplete. Life feels like, man, I don't know, I'm missing something. Something's not connecting. I don't feel like I got all the pieces together. Look, sometimes we might not have it all together, but I know the one that can make us whole. And I thank God for examples like this in the Bible, where somebody personally leading somebody to Jesus helps somebody else become whole. It's not just about us. It's not just about what we can get from God. There's somebody else in our family. There's somebody else down the street. There's somebody else in a house next to you. There's somebody else at your school. There's somebody else that we know right now that their life will not be made whole until they're brought to Jesus. How powerful is it that with the purpose God's given us, He allows us to help Him make people whole? Just by personally telling somebody that God has a purpose for their life. Andrew wasn't some preacher, some minister, nothing like that yet. He just found Jesus and brought somebody else to Him. Personal. Personal ministry. Who do you know that tomorrow, even tonight, you could call, preach the gospel to them? Who do you know that needs to come to church on Sunday, that God can make their life whole? Secondly, not only personally, but also publicly. We can never be afraid of publicly displaying our purpose for Christ. We can't become a generation, we can't become a people that just love the purpose that God's given us only in the church. Only within the restraints of these walls or your church or whenever you're gathered together. It has to be a public display as well. The Bible says in Philippians 2:15 that we're called to shine as lights in the world. Why? Because there's darkness everywhere that we go. And our purpose isn't to stay hidden. Our purpose is not just to stay quiet, is not just to stay in the church house. No, but it's to go out. It's to call others to Jesus. It's to let them know that God has a greater purpose than just getting high, that God has a greater purpose than just gangbanging, that God has a greater purpose than whatever it is that they're doing. But it's up to me and you to show that public display of purpose through our life, to be able to say that, you know what, I'm going to shine at work for Christ. I'm going to shine at school for God. I'm going to shine, and I'm going to do all that I can to lead others so they can find the greater purpose that God's given them. And it's about helping people win. It's about helping people become successful. It's about helping those that don't have any other options, about those who have messed up too many times. Nobody else thinks about them as anything good, but we know that Christ looks at them and loves them unconditionally, that He called them by name, just like He called me and you. But my friend, it's going to take us to go out sometime, to go to the streets, to blast on the street corner, to do a rally, also to publicly display it at work, at school, through Bible studies, through ministry, doing whatever we can, so others can find the purpose that God's given us as well. We can never be afraid to shine. We can never be afraid to dim the light that God wants us to be. How dare we not want to be who God's created us to be? I thank God for our ministry, that we're not called to be quiet Christians. I thank God for our ministry, that we're not called to just stay in we're never settling just for where we're at or for what we're doing. Even if God's been great to you, He could be greater. Even if God's been good to you, He could be so much more. But there's so much more out there that people need to hear, that people need to know. In our day and age, they're cutting God out of everything. So who's supposed to shine? It's me and you. Out in the world today, in schools, everything opposite of God is being taught. In our workplace, you'll get more in trouble for talking about God than talking about a bunch of perversion and all kinds of other crooked things. It's our time now more than ever before to be those that shine as lights in this crooked and perverse generation. My friend, God is calling us to be a public display of a greater purpose in life. Jesus Himself was looked down upon. Jesus Himself was spit upon. He was talked bad about. My friend, we have nothing to fear, because no matter what Jesus faced, even death itself, He overcame. There's nothing in life that will ever come our way. I don't care how bad it gets. All we have to do is stand on God's word and fulfill our purpose, and He'll help us overcome. Death and the grave couldn't hold Him down. What in the world could stop me and you? We just got to do our purpose. If I could have the musicians make their way up. The last thing I want to mention when it comes to really fulfilling our purpose. Sometimes we can get inspired and we begin to minister to somebody. Like I pray we will tonight, tomorrow, that after today you start thinking about that one whose life isn't really whole. Maybe they vent to you with all their problems. Don't just be a good friend. Don't just be a good listener. Be somebody like Andrew, who personally leads them to Jesus. Says, hey, I know the one that can make you whole. I know the one that could put your life together. I know the one that could make your life better than what it is right now. But the key to it all is to be persistent with it. Too many times in our day today, Christians get discouraged. Young people, you want to serve God, serve Him. Don't get discouraged. It's a guaranteed way of success. Persistently is the key in how we do our purpose and how we fulfill it. It can't just be a hit and miss thing depending on how we wake up in the morning, depending on how service was, depending on who's preaching. No. It's every day. It's no matter what. Again, don't forget the one that created us and gave us that purpose. Don't forget the one that overcame death in the grave. I'd rather have Him on my side than somebody else. It's a guaranteed way to success. But we have to do it persistently. We have to keep it up. We have to keep at it. There's some that we're going to reach out to, and you're going to have to be persistent in going after them. Continually following up with them, continually encouraging them, continually praying with them, praying for them, not giving up, not growing weary. There's a harvest waiting for us, for those that do God's will, for those that pursue His purpose. The church is here. There's a harvest waiting. We just got to keep it going and be persistent. Philippians 1:27 talks about standing fast in one spirit, being together, one mind, for the faith of the gospel. I pray that tonight, more than anything, we would either be realigned with our purpose or we would begin to find that purpose that's only given by God. In our day and age, we make things more confusing than they really are. Why? Because you can find and read so many different stories on your phone. The devil likes to come and distract. He likes to come and feed our minds. And things pop up, ads, all these different things. Why? Because the devil will do anything possible to keep you and keep me from fulfilling our purpose. Why? Because he knows that there's a certain sense of satisfaction when somebody gives their all to God and says, you know what? I'm going to make this purpose that God created me for my life's purpose. We wouldn't be here tonight if this wasn't true. From 1967 until now, there's men and women who are proving this right. I want you to stand with me, and tonight, before you make your way, if I can have you just close your eyes for a moment. And this is where I'm going to really ask, if no moving around, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Even out of reverence for what God's doing in the person's life next to you. Like I keep saying, it's not enough just to know our purpose. But God's called us to live it out. I want you to think for a moment with your head bowed and your eyes closed. What purpose have we been fulfilling? Is it really God's? Or do we still feel unsatisfied with life sometimes? Are we really doing God's purpose for our life? Or are we trying to make something else work? I believe tonight there's going to be a realigning with everyone here of our God-given purpose, of why we were created. Yes, it's to reach souls. Yes, it's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I guarantee you this. If you give your all to fulfilling God's purpose for your life, it'll also satisfy your life. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would continue and increase the work that you're already doing through your word tonight. Father, I pray that right now you would reach deep down within the depths of our soul and reform us, God. reshape us, Lord, to be that young man, that young woman, to be that leader that you called us to be, to fulfill your purpose for our life. Lord, I pray for the one right now that's been distracted by life itself, looking for purpose in different ways, in different areas, in different things. Lord, that you would bring us back to you tonight. Have your way. Holy Spirit, begin to move. Begin to do your work. Lord, I pray that we would be a generation, that we would be a people who know how to personally fulfill your purpose for our life. Will become those public displays of a greater purpose in life. Make a special altar call tonight, and if you're really serious, I know it's more than a few that we need God to realign us, that there's been some insatisfaction in life, there's been some things we're battling with, struggling with. I don't have all the answers, but I know who does, and when we align our life with his purpose and we're willing to find out everything that he has, he'll work it out. As they begin to minister music right now, if that's you, I want you to come. And if you're here tonight and you don't really know your purpose, maybe this is new or you haven't really thought about it too much yet, I want to encourage you to come as well and let God show you the purpose for your life. Let him show you the great things that he has in store. As you come, just lift your hands as a sign of surrenderance. Say, God, I surrender my will. I surrender my purpose. Lord, I surrender everything over to you.
I will open up inside.
I'm tired of questioning. I'm tired of looking the wrong way. I want your purpose for my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.